message received.
Hey everyone, welcome to the episode 29 of the Online Business Platinum Podcast. You're listening to Jeff Smith from HireTrustMarketing.com and InfoMarketerZone.com. Welcome to the show today. Excellent show today. I think you guys are going to really like what we have in store. We're always, as usual, going to give you hard-hitting information that we can fit into about 20 to 30 minutes because we know your time's important. Just give you the hard-hitting stuff. The three topics we're going to cover today. Number one, I'm going to give you some exciting but yet very simple information product online training use cases that you're going to be able to listen to and learn from. And hey, maybe adapt to your own business. If you've got a product today, you know, listen in because you might get some tips on how to make that product more effective. If you don't have a product and you've been thinking about it, you're going to learn some cool stuff here. Okay, so we're going to cover those use cases. Second topic, we're going to cover four ways to boost your website conversions. Now, who of us listening today, assuming you have an online business or you're building an online business or you're interested in building an online business, doesn't care about getting more conversions? That in conversion, really, for those of you who don't know, just means how do I get more of the people coming to my website to take action? The third topic we're going to talk about is, I'm going to ask you, actually, do you know what your greatness is? And there's a reason I'm asking this question, and it has to do with, it's actually the crux of what it's going to take to be successful in your own business. And I'm finding a lot of people I'm talking to lately within our coaching program, within infomarketerzone.com, as well as subscribers in the blog, really aren't well aligned in terms of the business they have created or the business they have in mind. Their business was actually created for different reasons. We'll talk a little bit about that and we'll get you on the right track in terms of understanding how many of the top entrepreneurs, the million-dollar earners, structure their businesses in concert with their greatness. Okay, that's what we're going to cover right near the end of the show. So to kick things off, I want to share with you some exciting and really simple information product use cases. And, you know, guys, for those of you who haven't listened to me before, you know that my own background is I've been creating training knowledge-based information products for probably close to 20 years. And of course, a number of those years, it was offline. So I would help companies and or individuals create their own training programs that, you know, sometimes it was a home study course. In other cases, it was a 3 or 4 day training program for, say, a software company. In other cases, it was a simple book or an ebook. Of course, back in the early days, it would have just been a physical book and would have been sold by mail order. So those are all of the areas that we actually both created our own products and helped others create products. And literally millions and millions of dollars worth of products we had helped with. And we moved online and we created our own products. And we created products in three different niche markets. And based on the success that we had online, we started sharing that in sites like infoproductcreator.com and infomarketerzone.com to be able to help all of you who had aspirations to be able to do the same thing, to be able to create your own signature products, to be able to share your knowledge with the world in a leveraged and consumable way. And that's really my background. So what I wanted to share with you is some recent examples, some recent case studies, and literally there are hundreds of them, but I wanted to pull out three of them. And these are people that we're that are either members at infomarketerzone.com or clients that we're working with. Now, the first one I want to talk about is an interesting two ladies that started a blog around a particular health topic. And it's targeting families with a specific health direction, a specific health focus. And they, over the course of about 2 years, they built up a very successful following. And now they've used blogging along with social networking, along with Facebook, along with Pinterest more recently to be able to spread the word and attract some attention, some publicity. Now, one of the interesting things is the two ladies that run this always had in their mind that they needed to be able to create a product. They wanted to create something that was sellable, something that would earn them profit and leverage their time. And interestingly, they didn't make a whole lot of money off the blog as they continued to build their readership over time. So they were ready to spin out a product. Now, what was interesting is they decided, you know, they had many incarnations, and some of them they talked to me about, some of them they didn't. They had, you know, they wanted to create a fairly complex membership site. They wanted to put together a 200-page ebook. All of these different ideas we sort of hashed around. And what was interesting is we went back to look at the most popular blog posts and some of the blog posts that they had posted content and looked for, you know, where were they getting engagement? Where were they really seeing the engagement with their audience? And the first place was in blog posts around recipes. Right. So as part of this health direction, they would, you know, once a month, they would post a blog post around recipe ideas, adhering to this sort of healthy lifestyle that they had as the topic of their blog. And we noticed that, you know, that's where they were getting an awful lot of engagement. They were getting a lot of reads. They were getting listed very well for those. So we decided, OK, well, maybe the best direction here is spin off a recipe book. And so what happened next is really interesting. They actually spent a few weeks. They pulled out some of their top recipes, added a few more, created basically a 20-page ebook and report slash ebook. And you know, think about it, 20 pages, not all that complicated. It wasn't a ton of work. And a lot of the content they had already had, they pulled a little bit more into it to make it original. But honestly, you know, most people wouldn't have seen all 20 over the years that they've posted anyway. And they put 20 pages into an ebook. They launched it to their existing audience and sold 1,000 copies at $7 a copy in the first week. So for those of you who hate math as much as I do, you can probably figure that out pretty quickly. That's in excess of $7,000 in basically a week. Now, I will say that was a launch, and their sales won't stay that high over the course of a launch. But the fact is they've retained probably 60 to 70% of those sales as they've continued to sell it weeks after. So you can do the math. It's a nice sum of money off of one simple product. And the reason it was so successful is because they had built it organically out of their following. Okay, so it's a good example for you. If you've got a topic that you think you want to jump into and you want to create a product around, A, do you already have sort of a following, or have you got a place to post content? If not, get doing it. You know, start posting content, start getting some followers. You don't need tens of thousands of them. Ideally, you have hundreds to thousands of followers. What I mean by that is, you know, you try and ramp it up to where you've got 100 visitors a day to your blog or to your social profile, however you choose to build your content sites. And as soon as you have that kind of following, you can start to consider pulling out content and judging what are people really responding to, and then pulling it into your own product and have a very successful launch. Okay, that's one case study. Let me give you another one. Well, so there was a gentleman we were working with that had been a relationship counselor and decided that he wanted to start getting out of his local area because frankly he thought that he was going to maybe move in the next 2 or 3 years and felt that he was really stuck to his local business, and if he was to up and move, he'd have to start all over again, start at ground one. That didn't leave him feeling very secure. So he wanted to start developing his own product so that he would have more of a global business footprint and he could move wherever he wanted to, give him the freedom. So he decided to put together a seminar event, partially advertised locally, but also advertised online, and sold tickets to the seminar for $397 and spun off a webinar element to that seminar, basically recorded parts of the seminar. It was a 2-day seminar, about 1.5 days, actually. Half a day the first day into an evening dinner, and then a full day the next day. And decided to charge $397 and opened 100 spots, which he filled, and then opened a webinar at the same time to be able to mirror some of the most important discussions. Now, what he did is he invited a couple of other related counselors, some legal counsel and psychologist, plus his own content, and put this whole thing together. Now, he sold those 100 seats within about a month, and that brought him in about 40K of revenue right there. And then the webinars, he was up in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 webinar seats that he sold. And those were sold for $97 each, Okay, so you can do the math. That's a pretty nice payday. So you're talking, you know, in the neighborhood of getting close to a six-figure revenue stream from running this one seminar event. So what he did is, of course, recorded that seminar, and that's turned into a product, and he'll be selling that shortly, all the video series, et cetera, for $197. Now he's got a turnkey greenfield product that he'll be able to sell. Now, his intent is to hold one of these seminars every quarter, and you can do the math. You know, at that point, you're approaching $500,000 in revenue in the first year, and then you've got four greenfield products that you're starting to spin out leveraged income from. So that's just another idea if you're considering live events and then spinning those back into digital products. Now, let me give you one more, and that is a client we worked with that was a personal trainer that decided to open his own fitness membership site. And the fitness membership site has basically is organized around a 30-day routine to get people losing that first 10 to 15 pounds, get them into the first habits. It composes various exercise routines, some mind exercises to be able to handle stress and to be able to get into the right mindset, and also deals with some diet advice. And for that, he charges $8 a month. Now, believe it or not, he actually sold within the first month close to 1,000 memberships at $8 a month, which, do the math again, it's about $8,000 a month. And he continues to be able to pull in traffic. Now, with that $8,000 a month, you can start to spend some nice money on paid advertising, right? Not have to worry about trying to just draw from organic. Now, he's doing organic stuff as well, and that will take some time to ramp up. But his paid advertising, you know, will now kick into another notch, and, you know, bring him in even more money. He can scale. All this said, guys, there's all kinds of ways to spin out your knowledge into information products, starting from a very simple 15 to 20 page report. You have options to do live events where you either are the coordinator and you don't even have to present yourself. We've had clients where they just bring together experts and they're actually running the seminar itself, and they own the product at the end of the day, and they pay these seminar leaders, and they might, you know, basically break even or make a little bit of money on the seminar, but then have a digital information product they can sell for months and years to come. Okay, so you can just simply coordinate. You could also do your own seminar and do all the content and keep all the profit. It really, really depends on what is sort of your strengths. What's your desire? How do you see yourself in that business? You know, are you a better marketer than you are a product developer or content or presenter? In which case, you just coordinate the event and then you market the product in the back end. All right, and there's also membership sites like I talked about. So you can put membership site content together and then, you know, program that into a 30, 60, 90 day set of membership steps or stages, and then keep updating the content sort of once quarterly to be able to keep people retained inside that membership site. So just some ideas for you. If you guys have any questions on that or have any tips of your own that you want to share, my suggestion is you can find us on Twitter at HireTrust. You can find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/HireTrust Marketing. You will find us up there. And you will find us on Snapchat. If you guys are catching the Snapchat bug, I'm really, you know, I've been using Snapchat a lot, both posting content and watching content, which is a good lesson, guys. If you guys are finding yourselves, I'm going to go into a rant here, but if you guys find yourselves just consuming content, if you find yourself up at Facebook for an hour a day, and you're just consuming content, and you're on Snapchat for 20 minutes a day, and you're just consuming content, and you're on Instagram, and maybe you're in all these places, your blogs, you know, consuming content is okay if you're doing it with a very specific purpose. If you're trying to learn things, and it should always be with a purpose to be able to apply that to your own business and try something. But just falling into this trap of consuming, making you feel, it's almost like a drug, a gateway drug, a shot of crack cocaine to see this inspirational material. And then it makes you feel good for an hour. Then you go away and you feel miserable and you come back for another shot. That's not really what this content's designed for. And it's hopefully, you know, when you listen to me, you do get inspired and you get motivated. But really what I want to do is give you usable information that you take back as soon as you listen to this and you try this on your own. You take the first step. You know, you launch a blog and you create your own first post, or you start a new way of sharing content. You start sharing videos on YouTube, or you do start, you go up and sign up for Snapchat, and I don't expect you just to follow me. I don't expect you just to follow people and learn. I expect you to learn something and then apply it to your own business. The really great entrepreneurs, they do learn from other people, but they do a lot more creating than they do consuming. And at some point, most of these entrepreneurs, very quickly, within the first 3 to 6 months, they stop almost consuming altogether, which sometimes can be a mistake, but they become such creators, and they find themselves motivated by their own creation, and they're learning so fast from doing things firsthand that they let that take over, and you suddenly don't need that gateway drug of following somebody else anymore. You're creating success for yourself, and you're diving in, and you're leading your own life, and you're starting to build what you used to see in other people. I hope you understand what that means. Okay, but you don't do that unless you start creating. You got to start somewhere. Even, you know, every entrepreneur I know started sharing content with nobody, right? You start off with zero or next to zero. And sometimes it seems futile. I mean, why are you doing this? Why are you creating a video that you might get 5 views on and 3 of those are your family? Why are you creating a Snapchat when you get no viewers? Why are you creating? Well, the reason is because you have to start there. And number two, you're learning the system. You're learning how to create content, and you get better and better. You're practicing when nobody's watching so that you're better when people start, when they do start watching. And then third, you start to network with other people who are maybe ahead of you and already have an audience, and they'll start sharing you with their audience if you get that practice in, and you start, and you're authentic and you're tapped into the right thing, and you start sharing good content, other people start to share that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're in front of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of eyeballs, and people start subscribing. And it really does happen that fast, guys. Like, you can toil along for a month and create content every day, blog content, podcasts, videos, Snapchats, and see nothing. But know that you're creating both your own expertise and your own experience, and other people are starting to watch you. Other people will, if you share it properly, other people will start to watch you, and they'll start to share you, and eventually things will kick off really quickly for you. You just have to have the faith, and you have to know that getting started is the most important part. Okay, that was a rant I didn't expect to add in here, but I think it's very important. So let's jump into 4 ways to boost your website conversion, if I can. So everyone struggles with this. Everybody that's online struggles with, how do they get better at turning visitors that they do are able to get, either through organic search engine or paid visitors? How do they get them to take action? How do they get them to sign up, you know, to subscribe to your blog, to subscribe to your YouTube channel, to subscribe to Snapchat and follow you, to be able to subscribe to your email list so that they'll hear more from you, or ideally buy something from you, either a referral product or your own product? Well, here's 4 ways. Number one is focus on that sales or landing page. So for every campaign that you have that you need to improve conversion on, you have some sort of a sales page or a landing page that is designed to convert people in from a visitor, someone interested, into a lead or a customer. And on that page, you need to first make sure it's single purpose, right? That people understand what, excuse me, what you want them there for. They need to know, should they sign up for something? What do you want them to do? And it needs to be a compelling offer and a single purpose, no confusion. Number two, you need to test that. You need to be testing the headlines, the content, the main elements on that page. You have 2 to 3 versions. You need to be doing split testing. You can do that through a tool like Google Analytics. You can do it through, Aweber. You can test your messages as you send them off to your page with Aweber. Different blog templates. Optimized Press allows you to do some split testing. Divi Themes, which I use for my Elegant Themes, I use for my website. They just added a lead tracker for their site builder. So when you build elements in the site, like a headline or a sales page, you can test different elements. That's built into the product now, into the blog theme, which is awesome. So you can do split testing using a tool like that with no cost, right? It doesn't cost anything for you. You just got to take a little bit extra time to understand how it works and set up your elements so they can be split tested. And the number three test I would say is use video. At least experiment with using video. There's still a lot of people that have text-only landing pages. And, And I think part of that is people are afraid of video. Another part is they feel like they have to be an expert, that they need a $10,000 camera, and they need to be professional and special lighting and all that stuff. Well, that's just not true. I mean, you can today with a Google phone or with a Samsung phone or with an iOS phone, the cameras are such high quality. You can record yourself in a video just with one of those tools with some basic lighting, background lighting, to light you properly. And as long as you have the right message and keep it to the right length, it's going to work for you, because people are going to see you. They're going to trust you. They're going to know that you have a lot more credibility. They're going to believe you and take action far more easily than just a text-based sales page. Okay. So that's optimizing the sales page itself. And you need to get that right before you do any of this other stuff. Number two, on that sales page or on your landing page, you want testimonials and social proof. Now, it used to be when I started off that if you had anyone review your product and they left a testimonial that said, hey, I just read your product, or I reviewed your product, it looks awesome, I learned a lot, blah, 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 that was fine. And you put a picture beside it. If you had two or three of those, it would help. And I would hear from people all the time, I bought your product because I read that testimonial, or I bought your product because I saw that endorsement. And today it's a little different. It's a lot more competitive. There's been misuse of testimonials, endorsements. People are, they have their radar up a lot more. So what you really want now is you want actual users that leave you the type of testimonial that says, hey, I reviewed your product and I used it. I applied this principle in your product and this is the result I got. Now, for all of you listening, and you should refer back to previous podcasts, because in the previous podcast, I've given you tips on how to structure your product so that it is usable, consumable, and testable, so that you can get these kind of testimonials. And I've also talked about how to basically seed and beta test your product to people to specifically go after these kind of testimonials, so you have them before you launch your product. And I even go so far, folks, to propose the wording of a testimonial to a client, because let's face it, most customers, they're not used to writing these things. They don't know really what you're looking for. And left on their own, they're going to write some kind of generic thing that's really not that useful. So what I do is I say, hey, Mr. X, great to have you try the product. Could you tell me sort of the top thing you found useful in the product and how it affected you? And here's a sample testimonial below template. If you could just fill in your experiences below. And I just give them a template that, I reviewed. Thanks for Jeff for the product. I reviewed the product. We used it in this way in our business. And then you leave a blank. And I achieved the following. I achieved this result in my business. And I leave a blank. And basically, they just have to fill in the blanks with what they did. And it takes all of the guesswork out of it. And I'm not writing the actual testimonial. All I'm doing is structuring what I'm looking for from the user, and they're glad to do it. I mean, most people, as long as your product's of decent quality and they were benefiting, they'll be happy to do it for you. Okay. So that's testimonials. Number three is to use some sort of time-based or offer-based scarcity. Now, if it's a digital product, you can just offer X number of copies. Say, well, the way I often do this is I come up with a package that has extra bonuses, and the bonuses, what I'll say is the bonuses disappear after, maybe one bonus disappears after 24 hours, then another bonus disappears after 48 hours, and another bonus disappears after a week, right? Depending on your offer, you can try different ways to slice and dice it so that people are just enticed to take the offer in the beginning and not give in to their indecision. Okay, so you can do that based on time. You can do it based on number of offers. Of course, if you have physical products, you really can limit them. You can limit special, you can offer the first 10 customers a special personalized service, a signed copy, a coaching call, all kinds of ways to offer these time-based bonuses to basically create scarcity and urgency in your offer. So use that. And then number four, this has to do with, I'm not talking about here testimonials and social proof. I'm talking about endorsements, affiliates, JVs, and syndication. The difference being, go after partnership traffic because it's warm. It's coming from a source that is trusted to their audience, and they'll be able to send you warm traffic. And you will notice your conversions double to triple with this type of traffic. Okay, so make sure that you're not just always you know, depending on cold traffic, whether that's organically derived or paid. But make sure you spend some time going after some trusted partners and get them to endorse the product for you, act as an affiliate, JV the product for you, or even syndicate some of your content on their site so that the traffic's coming from their site in a trusted sense and those people will buy from you. Okay, so that's tips on conversion. Again, if you guys have any questions around that, hit me up at Higher Trust. Leave a comment on the blog. The blog is higher trust marketing.com. You will see all of our blog content on the front page. Go to /blog to see a summary of it. And leave us a comment on the blog. We leave our blog open for comments and love to hear from you. Let's get into the last topic because I know we're going a little long on this one. But let me spend a couple minutes on the topic of, do you know what your greatness is? What precipitated this is I deal with a lot of people over at infomarketerzone.com that come in to us for help. And a good portion of those come in with a business that was started probably not in the correct way or not for the right reasons. They come in with a business that they started because they were trying to pay the bills, or they were trying to make a few extra bucks in a month, or they were had some dream that this could, you know, based on the advice of someone else, could be a business opportunity that would take them into the millions of dollars. So they were doing it for the money. The bottom line is the type of business that they may have come in with, or the idea or the market they've chosen, is not ideally suited to them because they never looked at their business from the other option, which is look at what do you want to be great in? What do you want to, if you could write your ticket, if you could start a business in any market with being an expert in any one thing, what would that be? You know, and that's where you need to start from, because when you're able to align your skills and your passions with a commercial demand and then add to that a plan and some resources, that's the ticket for dominating and growing a huge business. Okay, so if you don't have the skills and passions, you will not have the stamina, you will not have the connection with your audience necessary, you won't have the ability to stay with it, the persistence, you will not get enjoyment out of the business, and you just won't succeed. So, you know, give this some thought. Take a step back. If you already have a business or you have an idea, just take a step back and look at it from this perspective for once. If you haven't and you're wondering how to accomplish this, then great, because you're right at the perfect time, right? So take a step back and think, you know, what do I really want to do? What kind of market would I like to be number one in? If I could be the guru in market X, what would that be? What would I be doing? Who would I be working with? What would I be, what value add would I be delivering to the market? Who would I be working with as a customer? And what response would I get for them? Right? And those are the questions you want to ask yourself, and just jot down the answers, write down the answers that come to you. Don't worry about the commercialization or the plan or how you're going to get there, your expertise or where you are today. Don't worry about any of that stuff, because I know from experience that all of that can, it is important, extremely important, but all of that can be filled in after. So once you've identified that area where you have that passion and that skill and that ability, even if it's a skill that's not finely tuned today, or you haven't realized it yet today, you will always be able to find a commercial avenue to go down, right? That's related to that. It might not be exactly what you're thinking right now, but still in line with that skill and passion. Get that part out of the way first. What is it that you really want to do? Is it in sports? Is it in, you know, do you want to help people with healthcare? Do you want to help them with relationships? Do you want to help people start their own business? Do you want to help people have a better life, or do you want to have a healthier life, or do you want to help people enjoy their kids more? You know, there's just an unending list of possibilities. And imagine yourself, what would I really want to be doing? What if I could dominate one thing, what would I be doing? Because we're going to dominate with the help of myself and with the help of this podcast and all the other resources you're going to be able to find, you're going to be able to dominate. That's a given, right? Consider that as a given. So make sure that you're planning things the proper way so that you've got the right energy level, the right creativity, the right passion, and the right skills to dominate it. Okay? So we'll leave it there. And love to hear your comments in the blog. As I mentioned, a lot of you are getting on to this podcast, and we're happy to hear you guys. We're getting emails, we're getting comments. It's awesome. Want to hear from you. Hit us up at Higher Trust on Twitter. Hit us up over at Facebook. You'll find us under Higher Trust Marketing. And at the blog, okay, over at higher trust marketing.com/blog. That's it for this week. I hope you guys have an awesome and successful week. just get at it, you know, take action, stop being a watcher and become a creator. Okay. Bye bye for now. We'll talk to you soon.